do we become the identity of the sickness that has set upon us? Oh, that's that girl. She has. And all of a sudden, people begin to name you based on what you're going through. Listen, God does not identify you by what you're going through, nor do any of your Christian brothers and sisters. And by the way, if we do, shame on us. Shame on us. Tell your brothers and sisters who they are in Christ. Don't allow them to live in a grave. Get up out of the grave that society, that the devil, that your struggle is trying to put you in. Do not allow that to be your name. That is not who you are. God pulled us out and gave us a new name. Amen? Let's start our text tonight in John, the first chapter. And we're going to go through 11 through 13. It says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Now, for those of you that may be new to the word, this is talking about Christ, Jesus. And he came to the Jewish people in Israel. These were the chosen people, as if it were. But they did not receive him as the Messiah or the Savior. Yet to all who did receive him, this is you and I, this was known as the Gentiles who received Jesus as he was, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. To all that received him, Jesus. So for you and I, sorry about that, for you and I, we have received, we have believed, we have confessed, and we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. When that happened, he automatically gave you and I the rights to be a son and daughter. Now, I don't know what you know about rights, but I know this, I can give you rights all day. But if you don't exercise the right that you've been given, you really have no right. I walked in here tonight as Pastor and Peter Dosick's daughter. I have rights that a lot of you do not have. My mother loves clothes. Mom, if you're watching, I love you. My mother has a beautiful closet. It's a walk-in closet. It's got two racks. One that she puts her winter clothes on, and one she puts her summer clothes on. And it pulls down, so she don't even have to use a ladder to get them. It's amazing, okay? It's the only thing she wanted in her house that she wanted was her closet. She has a lot of nice clothes. I have rights to her closet. My mom will say, if I come to the house, you need anything, sweet pea? What do you need? Do you need jeans? I got some jeans in there. Don't fit me anymore. Why don't you come on in, see if there's anything you can have. And I just walk right in the closet. The light automatically turns on. It's pretty amazing. And the last time I went, this is what I came out with. And you know what? She said, now you're going to bring that back, right? I said, sure. This is next summer. I've been wearing this for two summers. I have rights. Now, Gerald, if you tried to walk in my mom's closet, I think she'd drag you out of her house and get rid of you. She'd be like, there's a problem. You're not allowed in there. Randy and David don't have rights that I have. They don't feel comfortable going in my mom's house, getting in her refrigerator, getting in her cabinets, and digging anything out that they want. If I see stuff at my mom's house that I think's junk, I'm like, you need to throw that away. That's broken, get rid of it. And I throw it in the trash can. Normal people don't think like that unless they've been given the right to do so. You and I have been given biblical right in the scripture to do and to be certain things. But if you do not know that you have the right, you don't act like you have the right, even if you know it and you don't act like it and you don't exercise it, what good does it do to know it? We all know that we're children of God, right? Then why is it that we live beneath the identity that he's put upon us? If God the Father gave us our identity and gave us rights to be sons and daughters, then God the Father sent Jesus, his son, to this earth. And Pastor Rick said it up here. We are in his Christ likeness. We are to be like him. But that means every single time that God came through for Jesus, every time God the Father showed up for Jesus, he shows up for you and I. Yet there's things that we won't ask for. There's risks that we will not take because we don't know if God's going to come through. Marge, I know that you have a daughter named Allison. Is there anything in this world that you would not do for her? Would you give her anything that she asked you for if you could?
Absolutely.
Would you ever harm her?
Never.
Do you want what's best for her?
Absolutely.
Is there a parent in here that doesn't want better for their children than they want for themselves? Where does the scripture come from that says, these are the works that Jesus did, but greater are the works that you will do. Greater are the things. He said all the books in the world could not fulfill what he had done. Yet greater are the things that we will do. We've been given the right as sons and daughters to do it. But we have to know the identity that we walk in and what we've been given. So let's go on to the next scripture. Let's go to Galatians, the fourth chapter, 4-7. This is why it's so important that you and I read the scripture and know God. It's not enough that we know of the person in the scripture. It's not enough that we know because our pastor tells us. We have to know him in this personal relationship and understand what he is and who he is. And then you know who you are because of that. And then when you know who he is and what's been done at Calvary, you find freedom. Then when you find your freedom because of all the things in this world that have happened nasty, that have just broken you and put you down and picked you up and you put some of the pieces back together and they're still not right, you discover this beautiful purpose that God made you. And then you make a difference with your purpose. That's the four lines of this church. Know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference with what you've been created with. There's a reason know God is first. Because if you don't know God, you're never going to find the freedom that the cross purchased for you and I. You're never going to know the identity that he created you to be and what you're not meant to be. That's what was good about what Pastor Rick said. He said, what I know is I'm not a robber. What I know is I'm not a thief. Amen. Because he knew he is a tither. He is a giver. Automatically, when you know what you are, it automatically tells you what you are not. Galatians 4th chapter 4-7. It says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, this was Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive. You have accepted, confessed, and believed upon Jesus. If you are a born-again Christian tonight, then the old things are passed away. You have become new, and this scripture is now for you. It says, might receive. We received adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the spirit of his son into your hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir. Listen, we're talking about being adopted into the family of God. Right now, this is what happens to you and I. It doesn't mean that you're a slave, as in chains, that you work for free. That's not what it means in the Bible. When you're talking about slavery, it is not what American slavery is. Slavery back then was not the slavery that it is today. Slavery back then was when you paid a debt that you could not pay, you became a slave to the master that you owed the money to. But slave is often put like this with the slave to the world, a slave to sin, because you cannot serve two masters. You don't get to serve Jesus and you don't get to serve the devil. It's either one or the other. And let me tell you, most of the time, the devil is the one that wins out if you're mixing the two. Let it be known to you and I that when you receive Christ, you have been adopted into the family of God, and you are now called a son. Randy touched on this last week. Adoption. What is adoption? Adoption is where somebody else comes in and pays a price, right? Jesus came and paid the price for you and I to be taken out of the devil's sin and slavery to that sin, and paid the price for you and I that now we might live free and become in his family, and he could re-identify us. Re-identify us. So we see, this is what it said. When we came into Christ and he purchased us, listen to this. This is the definition of adoption. It is a deliberate action by which a family gives to a person all the privileges of being a member of that family. You and I have been given all the privileges. All of them. But if we don't exercise the privilege, if we don't take the right of being called sons because we've been adopted into God's family, we will never know the fullness of what he has for us. Is it possible that if the church doesn't acknowledge and receive the true identity of what God gave us in sonship, then the privileges that we've been given will never reach the world? The privilege of healing will never be seen. The privilege of peace in the midst of a storm will never be seen. The privilege of having all of your needs met when the economy around you is crashing down and there's a 13 to 17% inflation rate. It doesn't affect us because God is our provider. It's a privilege that comes from above. And when you and I accept the rights of sonship and daughters of the Most High King, the Most High King, not the Most High slave, not the Most High beggar on the street, the Most High King, we begin to live in the inheritance of what he's given us. But we got to know it. This is why we tell you and tell you and tell you, it's important that you know the word of God and know what it says. We're new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, that word means look. Look. All things become new. See, because we know that we are sons and daughters, we walk differently. I don't walk like this in my mom's house. Let me take my shoes off. I don't want to get anything dirty. Nope. I walk in, I drop my bag on the floor. Hi, Mom, how you doing? She's like, good. I'm like, oh, you got fresh blueberries. Great. And I just start eating them. I don't even ask for them. I just start eating them. Right? Because I'm comfortable in the identity of being a daughter. But if I don't know what those rights are, if I don't know where the blueberries are, how do I know where to go get them? Some of us are walking around God's house like, what's this room? I ain't never seen this room. Oh, this is a healing room. Oh, okay. Well, I ain't got no needs today. And some of us over here are like, oh, that's the bank room. That's money. I could use some of that. Put in our pocket when we need it. We don't even know what's in the Lord's house because we haven't taken the time to know what we are and what we're not. Because everything around us is re-identifying us already. See, our boss called and said, you're not getting that yearly raise. Because the company didn't make no more money. And so you're like, oh no. Oh my gosh, how are we going to make it? How are you and your wife going to make it? Well, I'm not really sure now. So we allow a boss to identify us as not having enough. We allow a doctor to identify what disease we're going to fight. We allow someone thinner than us to identify us as overweight. We allow our own thoughts of insecurity to identify that we are not enough. We allow things that happened in our childhood that the devil constantly, he's got them on a replay. He just keeps replaying them through your mind over and over and over. Do you remember this? You remember that? You remember this? You did this. Constantly re-identifying who we are. I promise you that if you never take those thoughts captive, those thoughts will become strongholds, and those thoughts will begin to change your identity, and you will live a life of brokenness, an identity crisis, not knowing who you are. You will become pleasing everyone around you because you think that the people around you know more about you than you know about yourself. Let me tell you, God knows more about you. He created you. Every intricate part he stitched together with his own hands and made you. He knows exactly who you are and he loves you. And he believed that, Sharon, you had what it took, no matter what you thought, no matter what circumstance you went through life, to fulfill the purpose that he called Sharon Hewitt to fulfill. The child you raised, only you and David could raise. I couldn't raise him. I would not have done the job that God purposed for you and David to do, because he knew that seed before the beginning of time would be birthed between you and Dave, and you would raise Josh. And as for him and his house, he will serve the Lord. You watch. You watch. The identity God knew in there. You know, my father's brother passed away this last week. They were in the hospital one day apart from each other. My Uncle Jack came in on, I think, maybe 2 days after my dad had been in there. And he passed away. But my grandmother, before she died, prayed a prayer for all those children. And she prayed that before any one of those children ever died, they would receive Jesus as their personal Savior. Do you know every child, no one's been taken in a freak accident. No one's been taken by, listen, they've had machine guns drive by and blow up their houses. And yet they all live. I don't know how, by the hair of their chinny chin chin, they're all still alive. But I'll tell you, it's because my grandmother prayed a prayer. And Uncle Jack was given the salvation message and was able to receive Christ with an intubation tube in him, and was still aware of what was happening around him and was able to meet Jesus. Now you tell me that the identity of that child was not in his mother. God knew, Janice Dosick knew that her identity was that my children will serve the Lord and they won't die and go to hell. Even if I'm dead and gone, God will honor that which he has spoken to me. And he told me that my generation's generation would be saved. And sure enough, she believed it. She received it. That's her identity. And it was her right. And she exercised that right. And to this day, that right is still being exercised. There are some things that you and I need to stop being shaken by around us and dig into the Word of God and find the privilege that stops the devil in his track and begin to apply the privilege and exercise the right as a son and daughter of the kingdom of God. Every one of us, we all of us face something that's just this, I hate to say it's a thorn, but it's something we just keep coming up against, coming up against, coming up against. But I'm telling you, if you will go to the scripture, and find out the right of the children of God, you, what your right is, and begin to speak that biblical scripture and that right, you will see your situation turn around. But if all you do is just say, well, I wish I knew, I wish I knew, you'll wish you knew your whole life. Because of our identity, we walk differently. We think differently. We think differently because we think like our Father. When you have a negative thought about somebody, that's not your thought. That's not how you think. That's how the world thinks. That's how the devil thinks. You're a child of God, not a child of this world. When you have a lustful thought, that's not your thought. That's the devil trying to identify you as a whoremonger. God says that you're faithful to one spouse. That's who God says I am. God says I don't think like that. I covet my husband. I covet my wife. I don't covet my neighbors. You see, we think differently. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, 1-7. It says, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a person or an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. We must not think that just because we're children, we get to live in a disobedient life. I don't know about you, but my parents, there was not, if my father thought I was being disobedient on purpose, oh girl, it was on like Donkey Kong. I'm going to tell you one of these stories. One time, there was a very handsome boy in our church. And I kind of thought he was cute. Well, I found out that at church that night, they had asked us over for dinner. And I found out at dinner that night, his older brother told me, Lee, if you're in the house, his older brother told me that he had a girlfriend. And I was mad because I thought he was my boyfriend. So I gave him the cold shoulder all night, and I was just a stuck-up snot. I'm like, I'm not talking to you. Well, my dad had noticed my behavior. But my dad was not aware that there was this little liking relationship going on or of any of the details. So here I am about 13 years old, and on the way back home from Wapak to Anna, my dad began to tell me and give me the you-know-what for, how you're not to treat anyone like that, and I don't know what happened, but you have an attitude that's as big as this state, and we're going to take care of it. And he said, so I'm asking you, do you want your whooping now, or do you want it later? Well, I was 13, and I thought, well, you're driving a car. I'd like to see you whip me now. I said, I'll take it now. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, as fast as lightning, I'd never felt anything so fast. That little Challenger, whoo, went into the emergency lane. My shirt was over my head. I was right between two seats, and he smacked me right there. I'm holy smoke. I didn't even know what hit me. It was over. He didn't smack me. He didn't hit me. He whooped my rear end. I was pulled all the way up to the gear shift and back. Before I knew it, I was sitting back in the seat, and I'm like, holy smokes. He said, that'll be the last time you ever treat somebody with your nasty attitude. Now, disobedience was not accepted in our home. It was not accepted. And my father was not allowed, not afraid to give you the rod at any given moment in time. That's just the way it worked. What God is saying here is that when you accept the right to be a son, when you're adopted into the family of God, there is an expected way for you and I to live. Don't think we're going to inherit what a son would inherit if these things are going on. And oftentimes, these are what define us as a son or not. So when we walk in this life and we're walking around and we say, oh, we're children of God. And then you've got cursing coming out of your mouth. You're treating people at work not right. You're having lustful thoughts and talking about them with your coworker, about another woman on the line. You're misrepresenting. You don't get to misrepresent the children of God like that, because there's really some kids that are trying to do it right. There's really some kids that are really buying in to sonship and really following through with the identity of who God says we are. And let me say this. If you're one struggling, reach out. Reach out. Grab a hold of one of those sons or those daughters that you see doing it right and say, I just need to walk with you a while. I need some help. I need to walk with you, sister. I need you to help me. Would you find some scriptures with me? I'm really struggling at work. And then there's the responsibility, one for another, to love one another. What's your name?
Brooke.
I don't believe Brooke's going to go and tell everybody my business, but I do believe that Brooke's going to support me. I do believe that Brooke's going to help me fight off the slave mentality to sin and help me put on this identity of who Christ really wants me to be in this life. And it is possible. It is possible with the Holy Spirit's help. There's a liar that has been loosed amongst the church. He's dressed like a sheep. He appears like an angel of light. And he twists God's word. And he only speaks in his native language. And that language is called lies. It's all he does, day and night. Day and night, ain't never changed. It's been the same since the beginning of time. Genesis 3:1, we all know the story of Adam and Eve. But it says in the first chapter, or the first verse of the third chapter, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? We know the rest of the story. Eve ate the fruit. She then gave some to Adam. He ate as well. And then they heard the sound of the Lord. He was walking in the garden. And they immediately hid from him. He knows where they are. He's the Lord. But he calls out, where are you? Where are you? Like such a good father. Like, you know, when your kids are hiding from you and you know exactly where they are, you're like, where are you? You're like, you're behind the sofa because I can see your feet. He's such a good dad. He's such a good dad. I'm just saying, he lets us think like we're smarter than he is. Verse 10 says that he answered, Adam answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid. And the Lord said, who told you that you were naked? Who told you? Someone's been working on my people. Satan was questioning what God had said to Adam and Eve, questioning the words that he had spoken, and getting doubt to sit in their mind. He was their father. He's the only voice that they knew. Abba, Father. It was good. He had meant good for them their whole life. And the slithering snake, crafty as he was, who told you? I wonder how long he worked on Eve. See, the enemy comes to you just like that. And he challenges what the scripture says. See, you read it. You hear me say it. You hear Pastor Dosik say it. Brother Randy, Rick, all of us, you hear us preaching the scripture. Yet the devil says, oh, but that's for everyone but you. No, that's not for you because of. No, no, that's for people who aren't 80. See, you're on your way out. That's for the new generation. Lies. Lies. You want to know the only way a generation gets overlooked is if the generation lays down and lets the other generation walk over them. Do not disobey. Do not ignore God's word. Your generation will never, never, never be done away with. Lurie, God's just getting started. John, God's just getting started. Miss Ella, you caught that ball on Sunday. Holy Spirit's just getting started. Amen? It doesn't matter our age. It doesn't matter our age. It doesn't matter our race. None of that matters to God. He gets us to doubt and accept less than our inheritance. And then we live in this place of shame, fear, insecurity. Who told you that you weren't good enough? Who told you that you weren't pretty enough? Who told you that you would never measure up? That you are not important or valuable? Who told you that the wrongs that you had done could not be forgiven? Who said to you, nothing turns out? Don't you see, it always falls apart for you. Who told you you'll always be broken? Who told you you're not strong enough? Who told you you're not smart enough? I could go on and on and on with the lies. But the devil has no new tricks. None. His primary goal has not changed for you and I. It's to get you to doubt your Father's words. Because if you'll doubt what the Father has told you, then you'll doubt the privileges that you are allowed. And you'll doubt the rights that you've already been empowered with. And you'll live beneath what your Father has stated that you could freely have. I think of a court of law, and I'm turning this around just a bit. But all the devil has to do, he doesn't have to prove everything is a lie. He just has to get you to believe one. And he has a shadow. And that doubt begins to grow in our hearts. And before you know it, he doesn't have to seed anything. He doesn't have to seed at all. That shadow begins to grow in our life. Because what you think about will grow. That little seed of doubt that you allowed into your heart about your identity and what God didn't say about you, or how he thinks this about this person, but not you. Listen, we are one body with many parts. And it's okay whatever part you are. We don't have to be alike. We don't have the same roles. But our identity in Christ is the exact same. And you all get what I get and I get what you get. But better than any of that, we get what Jesus gets. Including an eternity with him in heaven seated in Christ. I challenge you this week to ask yourself the thoughts coming in, who told me that? I want you to hear the Father saying to you, Lauren, who told you that? And if you can say back to him, you did, Lord, then you're allowed to keep it. If Lauren said it, you're not allowed to keep it. If your friend said it, you're not allowed to keep it. Sometimes, I'm not saying this, if your husband said it, you're not allowed to keep it. If God said it, you can keep it. Each and every one of us have to ask ourselves, who told you that? And don't be ashamed. Just confess it straight up. And you know what? If it's something that you've been telling yourself, repent. Father, forgive me for those thoughts. I don't want to be like that and start ripping out those thoughts in your mind. Because I'm telling you, healing is yours. Protection is yours. Peace of mind, rest, love, whether like it or not, long life is yours. Blessing is yours. Hair, Joel wants hair. Joel's putting hair on his head. All right. It goes on and on and on because of the family that we are in. Stand to your feet tonight. Father, we just come before you. And Lord, I just ask you this week to expose the crafty one. Expose him in our life and show us the lies that the enemy has been trying to get us to believe. Show us the places of doubt that have become seated in our minds. And God, give us the strength, Father, to rip those thoughts out, to rip those seeds out and replace them with your identity, your scripture. And God, if we lack that ability, then give us the strength to reach out to someone that can help us. Someone that can help us, someone that's founded in the word, someone that understands the scripture. Devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You are a filthy liar. You've come to steal. You've come to steal, to kill, and destroy God's people. But we will not allow it any longer. We will not allow you to steal our identity and take our rights and lie to us about our privileges as children of God. We choose to begin to walk in the identity that God has purposed us for. We will be the people that will take a step when no one else will. We will be the people to lead an end time church. We will stand in faith when everything else around us falls. We will live in prosperity and in blessing when the world around us collapses. And they will know that it's God's people that are being blessed and God's people that are being preserved. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that when evil spirits rise up, Father, that your church will be able to identify the enemy and stand boldly and profess that that is of the devil and this is of God. I thank you, Lord, that we will walk with a fierceness inside of us, a boldness, a tenacity in God that cannot be quenched. Father, I thank you that you've raised up this generation for now. Father, we boldly take a stand. We boldly accept the challenge and say, Lord, we will walk in the identity and the adoption of sonship. We are the sons and daughters of God. And we're not ashamed of the gospel, and we're not ashamed of the identity that he's purposed us with. But God, we will go forth and change the world, change our local cities, change our factories, change the stay-at-home mothers group. Change the playground moms for your glory, God. Use us, for we are willing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I believe we're going to continue the identity series. It won't be next week because we got Pentecost. Just letting you know, starting Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, come for a power-packed week. If you know someone sick in their body, somebody that needs deliverance, bring them on out. I'm expecting God to do amazing things this week. Okay? Amen. See you next week, church.